I like the old song, so I wish that you would pray about a song, piano player. Amen. It'd be so good to have one. You could change some things up. Amen. We'd want to. Sometimes you could just sing the chorus or something like that. Be such a blessing. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We're going to be dealing with a little word that's an important word that we do not see much anymore. Let's look at verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God. That ought to get our attention. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication is any sexual sin. Okay, you should abstain from it. Amen. And that's what is wrong with America. We're a perverted society. Look what he says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And I want to deal with the thought of sanctification. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we ask, Lord, that your will be done. We pray, God, you'd help us to preach with passion, with power. And I pray, God, that you would have your way in this service, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We live now in a society that's very opinionated. It is a society that cares more about what you say than what you do. I've always believed, I was always taught that the man is the message. I remember Steve talking about a guy he worked with one time, and he was talking about his pastor. And he said, well, the whole time he's preaching, he's scanning the congregation for a sister. Is what he said. He was a colored preacher. And said all he does is run around with the sisters. And Steve asked him the question. He said, well, why do you keep him? He said, because he sure can preach. I think there's some issues there, okay? Now, here he says it is the will of God, our sanctification. I've always believed this, that when a person gets saved, they're a new creature. There is a change that will take place, and that change is noticeable. And it will be more. You won't have to wear a t-shirt or a bracelet or a necklace saying you're saved. I believe people will know it. I believe they'll know it. And I've always believed that if you have to tell someone you are, you're not. Okay, it ought to be manifested in our life. We ought to live in such a way to try to bring the most honor and the most glory to God. Now, when most preachers preach about sanctification, it's coming apart. But that is not enough. That is not near good enough. I believe we have to be sanctified unto Him. In other words, what we do should be based on Him. What I've noticed in my ministry is people will sometimes adhere to what the preacher says, and they will tell others that it's what God says, and then when the preacher changes, they change. And everything is different, okay? And if you do it for the preacher, you're doing it for the wrong one. You got to do it for God. It's the will of God. It's your sanctification that you should abstain from fornication. Now, Paul carries this a little bit differently. He talks about us being married to Christ. that we're His, and we teach and we preach that we are the bride of Christ. Amen. The bride should be faithful. Y'all agree with that? The bride should be faithful. We know that the bridegroom is faithful. Okay? We know that. There's no questions about that. Anything that the bride, which is the church of God, does, we're not doing it to get back at the bridegroom for something bad he done. Because he's done nothing amiss. He's without sin. We're not. And we're to abstain from fornication. Amen. How many of y'all believe it'd be wrong to be engaged to a person and then run around on them? Now, if you're okay with that, you probably need a new birth. Okay? Well, let me change that. You probably need a brain. Okay? When I was lost and a complete total heathen, I agreed with that. Okay? Now, we live in a dispensation where people desire to hold you accountable for what you say. But it's not willing to hold you accountable for what you do. You burned down a city. Well, they were young. Amen. Well, if they're that young and that stupid, then they need took to the woodshed. Right? But yet, if you say something negative about it, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You're judgmental. Huh? They burned down town. Okay? Y'all okay with this? They want to hold you accountable for what you say. We say we have free speech, but we do not. Amen. I posted a good bit of stuff on Facebook and I got it back. This doesn't meet our standards. Well, who determines your standards? By the way, the most liberal person in the world has standards. It's where you draw the line on standards, okay? You see on church sign, come as you are. They don't mean that. I had one come in here said, do y'all have dress standards? I said, yes, we prefer you wear clothes. Okay. They just have to know. You have to spell it out now. But it's a day when you better be careful what you say because they will hold that in a higher regard than what you do. There are terms that we no longer hear, and you've heard this over and over again. When I got saved in 1984, they talked about holy people. I'm sure all of y'all remember them days. Holy people. When's the last time you heard that? What about prayer warriors? I'm talking about the simple things of basic Christianity we no longer hear. I'm not saying they don't exist, but it's terms that were very frequent among churches, they're no longer frequent. If it was life or death for you, who would you want to pray for you? Just think about it. It's not as easy as you think. The word sanctification in this text, in the Greek, is hagiomos, and it means purification or purifier. It is used 10 times in your King James Bible. 5 times it is translated sanctification, and 5 times it's translated holiness. Thayer says this word carries the consecration or sanctification of the heart. The word sanctify is recorded 65 times in 58 verses. In 2 Chronicles 29:5, the Levites and the house of God must be sanctified. 2 Corinthians 7:1 is our command of sanctification. This word means to grow in holiness or setting apart for a holy purpose. In other words, I'm His. He has bought me, He has purchased me, and He has the right to dictate my life. We don't like that. We like control. We like to trust God in the things we can't do anything about. And we like to trust us in the things we can do something about. So this word sanctification is more than separation from sin and defilement. And I think we all could agree we ought to separate from sin and defilement. What we want to talk about today is not a separation, a sanctification from sin and defilement, but a sanctification to the Lord. He paid a price He did not owe. Paid a debt. I had a debt I could not pay. I am not only created by Him, I've been bought by Him out of the slave market of sin. Brother Randy, you remember Brother Reeves used to preach about that and what it meant? The slave market of sin, we was on the chopping block. And the devil had us. And Jesus came on the scene and He said, I'll pay the price. And He come down, He took on the form of a body and become totally man and totally God and went to Calvary to pay a debt to keep you out of the eternal flames of hell. Man, we ought to love Him. We ought to love Him. Oh, the price He paid. Sanctification is a threefold relationship, okay? Give you three things and we're going to let you go home. First of all, it relates to our state. Folks, there's nothing that Mike Ramsey can do. There's nothing you can do that can appease a thrice holy God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You've got to know that you're saved. Brother Sammy Allen used to make this statement. He said, a lot of pastors quit using me because they said I was confusing the people about their salvation. Well, the preacher's job is not to confuse people about salvation, but for God to reveal where people are at. There's going to be a majority of people that think they're saved that are not saved. We're told that in Scripture. And I want to tell you, folks, you need to make your calling and election sure, and only you know that. I'm going to tell you, you'll never care about sanctification until you understand fully the price He paid for your sin debt and how far He went to pay a penalty that you could not pay. You see, sanctification deals with our state. if you question your salvation, you'll never do anything for God. You got to know that you know that you know you have, y'all ready for this? Eternal life. These things, John said, are written that you may know. The only assurance we have is the Word of God. Amen. All the soul winning courses say you gotta give them assurance, give them assurance, give them assurance. If the Holy Spirit can't do it, then I shouldn't do it. I don't know what's in the heart. I don't know. When we get born again, there's not a thing on our forehead that comes up says saved. Sure would be good, wouldn't it? Huh? Sure would be nice. Amen. It's not tattooed on her arm. Amen. Sometimes we may live like we're saved. Sometimes we may not. Amen. But the catch is you got to know. If you're going to do the will of God, if you're going to separate unto Him, you got to know what He has done for you. And the price He paid, and that God loved you so much that He gave His life. And I'm going to tell you, it's easy to love someone that done so much for you. I know we live in America and we believe that we're entitled. Amen. We ought to be able to do what we want to do, have what we want to have, go where we want to go. Amen. I've heard the advertisements and all this. You can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. We're all limited. Amen. I can never play in the NBA. Ever. Amen. I can never play professional sports of any kind. Ever. Amen. I can't be a brain surgeon. There's more things I can't be than I can be. But I tell you what I can be. I can know that my Redeemer liveth. Yes. And that one day I'll see Him. That's good enough. We got to deal with our state. You got to know that you're saved. Pin that thing down. Okay? Pin that thing down. Amen. There's times I prayed in my life, God, I don't even wonder if I'm saved. Amen. But it ain't about us, it's about Him. Number two, sanctification deals with our standing. Our relationship with God is important. The old preachers preached about peace with God and then the peace of God. Our standing. Would it be fair to say that there's times when we're not what we ought to be? And when we're not what we ought to be, see, Jesus asleep. He ought not be there. But He is, because I'm boring. But when we're not where we ought to be, it affects our relationship. It doesn't change the fact that there is a relationship. But it does affect that relationship. If you've been married, you understand that. If you've been married for over 24 hours, you understand the fact that relationships change. They vary. Amen. Men, sometimes women are wrong. Men, sometimes your wife thinks you're wrong. But we know that's not the case. Okay? Relationships, even among children. See, I'm not happy that Jason's asleep. But it doesn't change the fact he's my son. But it does alter the communion. When we talk about sanctification and our standing, it's where we're at the moment. Sometimes we think things we shouldn't think. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us that it's not pleasing. And by the way, when our relationship is with God, every problem is our fault, not His. So what we have to do is we have to make it right and do whatever it takes that we can have that sweet communion. When we talk about sanctification, it's the will of God. God desires for us to be near because He wants to be near. And when we deal with this thing, this is the will of God, our sanctification, to know that it gets right. And that should be our desire. By the way, the closer that relationship is, the sweeter it is. I have heard people tell me, said, I love them, but I don't like them now. It doesn't change the fact of sonship, but it does change the fact of where we're at. And when we have a desire for sanctification, it's unto Him that we will draw nigh to Him. And when we draw nigh to Him, then He can draw nigh to us. It is a mutual relationship that is dependent upon us. His desire is to be with us, to be in us, and for us to have that sweet communion with Him. We're talking about sanctification. You probably never heard it preached like this. But it deals with our state. It deals with our standing. Number three, the relationship of sanctification deals with our service. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 speaks of working out what God has worked in. Our service. Our motivation. Why do we do what we do? Well, some people do what they do to be noticed. Some people do what they do to be liked. Some people do what they do to have power. Some do what they do to have prestige. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase. If we do the work of God to draw attention to ourselves, then we're robbing God of His glory. But the closer our relationship is in any form of life, when the relationship is where it ought to be, the desire is to please the other, not self. We do live in a selfish society. It's all about us. sanctification to service. Why do we do what we do? Well, I hope it's because we love Him. Because nothing else is really going to matter. Paul said there's work, some's wood, hay, and stubble. Some, well, they're precious. And the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. But the precious is going to be purified. And I believe it's speaking directly about the motive of why we do what we do. There's not one person in here that does not believe that we ought to do something for God. But in the average church today, you have to give people a title or a position to do it. I don't believe in that. Here's why. If they're not doing it, you give them a title. They're not going to do it because they have a title. You give people the position and the title because they're already doing it. We're talking about sanctification. It's unto Him. And we ought to do the service with the right motive because we love Him and there's a desire to please Him. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be how many people liked us. It's not even going to be about what we've done other than the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be about what He has done. And what He has done should thrill us. And I believe the church in America has lost the joy, the vision of understanding and realizing just how far Jesus went. We can read about Calvary now and we're untouched. We can read about hell and not cry. And it seems like sometimes with Mike Ramsey, he just goes through the motions. Just a very ritualistic thing. But folks, sanctification is the will of God for your life. Amen. We ought to do everything we can and all we can for His sake, His honor, and His glory. This thing's fixing to end. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more work. It'll just be worship. But we can work now. Amen. Maybe each and every one of us is here this afternoon. We'll just say, I'd like to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Remember what it was like when you first got saved. How precious that book was. You just get lost in it. Amen. Read it for hours and hours and hours. You remember every time you got around somebody, you had to tell them what Jesus done for you. How quickly we can leave our first love. Sanctification. Will of God. Amen. Now that's what God's laid upon my heart. That's up to us. Problem's not Him. It's not Him. It's me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to fall in love with Him again? Fresh and anew. Father, as we come to you, I preach what you laid on my heart. I ask God you'd have your way. We thank you and we love you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.